You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you're about to enter, so help you God.
I do.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
As Vice President Joe Biden swearing in a group of senators on Tuesday, 114th Congress takes its place there. Now, the headline out of the midterm elections was that the Republicans took control of both houses of the legislature, a rather sizable majority in one and a workable majority in the other. Does that mean that other aspects, the other parts of the composition of the 114th Congress have changed from the 113th, in particular, the religious composition of that legislative body? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 8th of January. We're going to be taking up that question, the religious composition of the 114th Congress. Alan Cooperman will join us here in a minute, Director of Religious Research for the Pew Research Center. After that, we'll conclude today's broadcast by continuing our weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 60, the future glory of Israel. And glory is a big term we'll need to take up with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer later in this hour of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about the religious composition of the 114th Congress, Alan Cooperman. He's Director of Religion Research for the Pew Research Center. Alan, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be with you.
I guess the most obvious question is, how does the 114th Congress compare in religious composition to the last class?
Well, you know, it's pretty similar. In both the previous Congress and the current Congress, more than 90% of the members identify as Christians of one sort or another. Protestants make up a slight majority of the current Congress, 57%. That's virtually the same as it was in the previous Congress. And 31% of the members of the current Congress are Catholics. Again, that's virtually the same as it was in the previous Congress. There are a few slightly smaller number of Jews in the current Congress than in the previous one. There are 28 Jews. That's 5% of Congress this time around. And a smattering of other faiths, two Buddhists, two Muslims, one Hindu, one Unitarian Universalist, and so on.
How does the religious composition of the 114th compare with that of the electorate, as far as we can tell?
You know, that's a great question, Todd. You know, if you look at American religion, the American public, in very broad and big picture terms, even though we think of this country as having a lot of religious diversity, most of that diversity is really within Christianity. We have all different kinds of churches. 75% approximately of the American public is Christian of one sort or another, and 20% has no religious identity. That is, people who don't identify with any organized faith. When you look at Congress, it's more than 90% Christian, and there's only one member of Congress now, Representative Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, who describes herself as having no religious affiliation. So the biggest disconnect, I think, is that people who have no religious affiliation are, in a sense, underrepresented. People who have a religious affiliation are overrepresented in Congress by comparison with the American people as a whole.
How would you describe the religious composition of the Democratic side of the aisle of the 114th?
Well, most of the diversity within major religious faiths is concentrated on the Democratic side. That is, all but one of the 28 Jews in Congress are Democrats. Both the Buddhists, both the Muslims, the one Hindu, the one unaffiliated member, they're all on the Democratic side. The Republican side is two-thirds Protestant and about a quarter Catholic, overwhelmingly Christian.
How would you describe the religious composition on the GOP side?
As I said, the GOP side is overwhelmingly Christian, two-thirds Protestant, whereas Congress as a whole is a slight majority of Protestants. So a slightly higher share of Protestants on the GOP side, and then the rest Catholics. There is only one Jewish GOP member, Lee Zeldin. He's a freshman congressman from New York. There was one Jewish Republican in the old Congress, as you remember, in a leadership position, who lost his seat. That was Eric Cantor, and now there's one Jewish Republican in the new Congress as well.
How many members of the new Congress have held some form of religious occupation?
Oh, that's very interesting. I don't actually know how many have ever held some kind of religious occupation, but we know that seven are ordained ministers. And that's, you know, that's not a tiny share. Seven is an interesting number. We did some historical research on this. Back in the very, very first U.S. Congress, there were six ordained ministers. I think, though we don't have good numbers throughout all of American history, that there were probably times in the 19th century when the share of ordained ministers in Congress was at least as a percentage higher than it is today. And of course, the number seven today is a much smaller share of Congress because Congress is much bigger than it was at the beginning of the founding of the American Republic.
How would you describe the breakdown of the Protestant members of the 114th Congress? For example, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian?
Sure. Well, first of all, you have to realize that, of course, we are simply reporting the way that members of Congress identify themselves. And so we have a large number who simply identify as Christian and don't give us any particular breakdown as far as denomination. But bearing that in mind, Baptists are the largest subset of Protestants in the Congress, as they are in the general public. There are 79 members of Congress who identify as Baptists. And by the way, we don't have a further breakdown on that as to whether they are, say, American Baptists or Southern Baptists or any of the various other kinds of Baptists in the country. But that's the largest chunk, 79. There are 45 Methodists, and that's the second largest group, followed closely. There are about 41 congressmen who either identify as Anglican or as Episcopalian, and 36 Presbyterians, 27 Lutherans, and then a smattering of smaller denominations like Congregationalists or those who identify as Pentecostal, or a couple of Christian Scientists, one Reformed, and so on. Actually, in many ways, this breakdown in big picture terms it looks similar to me to the breakdown of Protestants in the country as a whole. As you know, Baptists are the largest single subgroup of Protestants, and the United Methodist Church is the second largest.
Other than Jewish, how would you describe the non-Christian religious affiliation of the various members of the 114th?
Well, there's just a smattering of non-Christians other than Jews, and they are a smaller share of Congress than they are of the general public, but not hugely different. There are two Buddhists in Congress today. There had been three. One lost a seat. One ran for Senate and lost. There are two Muslims in Congress today and one Hindu. So five non-Judeo-Christian, although, you know, you could argue Muslims in that tradition as well. Again, it's just a tiny percentage. They make up about 1% of the members of Congress, whereas Buddhists, Muslims, and Hindus together make up approximately 2% of the U.S. population as a whole.
I'm wondering, finally, has research ever been done into the daily or the weekly religious practice of our legislature?
Well, there are organizations that specialize in religious outreach to members of Congress, and some of those organizations probably know more privately about what individual members of Congress do in terms of their religious practice. I'm not aware of any publicly published survey of members of Congress. I think, to be very honest, it would be quite difficult to do that and to get results that we think are reliable. The problem not so much being that I don't think members of Congress would answer honestly, if I think that they just wouldn't answer. I think we would get very low response rates. I mean, these are very busy people who are not positively disposed to take surveys. Their surveys have been done of Congress on other matters of views on foreign policy and that kind of thing. And I think when people try to survey the members of Congress, they end up getting only a very small proportion of the members of Congress to respond.
Finally, then, sounds like the big story from the midterm election was massive gains by the GOP in Congress. Has it dramatically changed, as far as we can tell, the religious composition of the Congress?
No, it hasn't really, although I did note that the number of Jews has declined somewhat, and I think to some extent you could see that as a reflection of the decline of Democrats. It is most of the Jewish members of Congress are on the Democratic side, all but one, and I think the small drop in the number of Jewish members of Congress is to some extent a reflection simply of the waning fortunes of Democrats in the most recent election. The other thing that I think is interesting, you know, talking about the differences in Congress between the last Congress and this Congress, is a little bit like talking about how quickly your children are growing. If you see them every day, you don't notice how much they're shooting up, whereas Aunt Sally, who sees them only, you know, once or twice a year, realizes that they're growing fast. So if you look at the long-term trends, there really have been a lot of changes in the religious composition of Congress. It wasn't that long ago in the 1960s when nearly three-quarters of the members of Congress were Protestants. Again, today it's a slight majority. And when there were no non-Christians other than Jews in Congress back in 1961-62, there were no Muslims, no Buddhists, no Hindus, and so on. So Congress has become more religiously diverse, just as the country has, and the share of Protestants in Congress over the long term, over the last several decades, has declined, just as it has in the general public, by the way. We now have, probably for the first time in American history, slightly under 50% of American adults are Protestant.
Alan Cooperman is Director of Religion Research for the Pew Research Center. You can read their new report, Faith on the Hill, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour on this Thursday afternoon, January the 8th, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, continuing our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be talking about the future glory of Israel in Isaiah chapter 60.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen on Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.